From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on this beautiful day as we move into the fall, move into the month of October, the pro-life month of October, as so declared by many different organizations and a lot of pro-life activities that going on. We'll get to those as well in the next hour. Appreciate you taking the time to be with us. And this is, Gabe, this is our anniversary, 22nd, 20. We're beginning our 23rd year, completed the 22nd year, and we have to thank everybody who has helped us along the way, our great listeners, the many, many wonderful guests we've had. I'm guessing in the thousands of guests that we've had. Some of them multiple times. Bishop Wiegand, whose idea this was, Bishop Soto, who has just been given us such great support, such a fan of both our radio show and Radio Santissimo, our Spanish language radio sister. On and on and on, all the wonderful people who have helped to underwrite the program over the years, and you, the listeners. So greatly appreciate everyone's help along the way. Gabe, it's 2 millennia we've been on. 1999, October 6, 1999. 2 millennia, what, 3 decades? It's not quite, it's just 22 years. Well, not just, but it's just a thrill to be here. It's a labor of love, and appreciate everybody listening to us. And we're pleased to welcome in as our first guest in the 23rd year, in the year of our Lord, 2022, Jane Lee of God's Heart and Hands Ministry. Jane, good day to you.
Oh, it's so good to be here, Bob, and to have been with you through so many years of this. And just what a blessing of you doing the Lord's work for that long, the things you have walked alongside people in society, in the world, as looking at the world through the gospel values through how many presidents? I mean, I can't even...
I don't know. I think it started with Abraham Lincoln, but I'm not sure.
So you've seen a lot of change. You've seen a lot of change. Yes, yes. And when you do the Lord's work, man, he just knows a good thing when he's got it, and he just keeps you going.
Well, I heard when God first heard that I might be doing a Catholic radio, he was a bit concerned. He said, "Who, Bob? Who?" beyond everything else, I hope I'm pleasing the good Lord. You know, it's a real interesting filter, and I don't think any of us do it often enough. You know, the old "What would Jesus do?" Which we've heard many times, and it's on coffee mugs and license plates and every place else, which is great. But you know, would God approve of what I'm doing? Would God approve of what I'm saying? Would God approve of this conversation I'm having with some person in the post office? Would God approve of the way I'm driving my car? You know,
wow.
Would God approve of the way I'm talking to my children, or I'm treating this stranger that I ran into? You know, it's there are so many occasions where God is he's put people into your lives, and you can interact, you can ignore, you can be joyful and grateful, you can be mean, and you know, you have all kinds. We have free will,
and that's true.
And that filter, what would God be pleased with how I'm acting right now, is it's a good one. I don't do it often enough, and I'm sure most people don't do it often enough. But and there are so many times where I'm usually, you know, what's the right thing to do, and maybe it's a little bit hard or it isn't quite what you want to do. But there are times when you're really torn, you know, it's like, I don't really. And that's when you turn to God and say, please make happen what you want to have happen. And then put the words in my mouth or the action in my feet or whatever it is we need to make it happen.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And what you said about would God approve, and coming back to the moment. In fact, I ran across a scripture in Jeremiah about, my people with their busy feet, always moving. And it's even in the Bible talking about how we just keep ourselves busy. And your perspective of putting God back into the moment, into the center, is part and parcel of the God's Heart and Hands ministry is putting God back into the center of the family. Women have always had to work. It's not a discussion of that. It's putting God in the center and letting Him construct your family in such a way for your decisions and so on. It came out of me being an engineer and really feeling that that's where I was supposed to be when I became a mother, that that's where my real valuable work was. And that was the trying to navigate that was what started this, and understanding that mothers in the beginning, but now parents, truly are God's heart and hands. We are the bridge between God and our children. We mold our children. And putting God back in the center really connects with what you're saying about would God approve of what we're doing? Is it, and with that is also, is this His will for us?
So yeah, you know, I can remember back, and I'm not positive of the dates of it, and I'm not even positive of the accuracy of this statement, but I think it was Time magazine back mm-hmm. when Time, Newsweek, a weekly magazine was still current. Now mm-hmm. a weekly magazine, they're all online because nobody wants to buy yeah. something that was printed a week ago. But mm-hmm. I think the cover said, "Is God dead?"
Mm-hmm.
I mean, big headline on the cover. I may have the wrong magazine, but I'm almost positive about the "Is God Dead?" Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. I think it was
I think it was the
60s, maybe the 70s, but somewhere in there, where it seemed as if the whole country was moving away from God, from religious belief, from religious practice, and I'm not positive, but is God dead? And it was like a talking point. It was like a let's throw this out here for discussion. Almost like, well, yeah, back in the Civil War and World War I and World War II, I guess we needed God, but we don't need God now. We figured it all out, you know. And it was just a crutch. It was just something that we did. Friedrich Nietzsche said it first, long, long ago.
Mm-hmm.
But then we picked up on it. Our ace producer, Gabe Sorensen, who was much too young to even remember that could have been a possibility. That mm-hmm. probably don't even know what Time magazine is.
Right, right.
But and God's not dead,
mm-hmm.
and God is real, and God is in our lives, and God is ever not changing, even as we're mm-hmm. changing.
It's interesting that the perspective was that if we didn't need Him, then was He dead? Was He useful?
Yeah, and dead, I don't think was really the term they meant. I mean, I think they meant almost like, is God non-existent? He's died and gone away. We don't need Him anymore.
Right,
but basically,
or we don't see Him anywhere. We need Him and we don't see Him.
Right. And, you know, it's interesting because people used to, when I was a kid, people used to say, well, if you can't see Him, I mean, how can you possibly believe in God? You can't see it. Well, I can take a little clicker in my hand and make TV change.
True.
And you can't see how that happened either. You can't see how you and I are talking right now. I could send an email to somebody in Thailand right now and nobody would see it happen, but it would be there.
Mm-hmm.
It somehow traveled thousands of miles, I don't know how, and ended up mm-hmm. the exact message I sent, you know?
And I think that fits as parents. We're called to one of the questions our kids have for us, and why we are such an important role in raising our children as parents, is they have questions like that. Well, I see pain, I see suffering, I see the homeless out my car window. Is God dead? Where is God in all of this? And I think that's one of the most important questions that we filter and help our kids navigate. We filter the information and give them context and perspective and help them navigate to understand and how it does tie back to God. And that's part of us being God's heart and hands. And as talking about us and how we think if we see these things and we don't see God, going back to Luke 10:42, where Jesus was with Mary and Martha, and Martha speaks up, and Jesus responds and says, there's need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her. So I really understood in praying and meditating on just, you know, yeah, so many times you read Scripture and something else pops out, and something you've read hundreds of times, is that the Lord does not take our peace away. We turn away. We shift our focus because of our free will. And so when we come down to it, it's, our participation. So God looks dead, but it's us. Are we engaging with him? Are we searching for him? Possibly he's allowing us to move away from us so that we search for him more.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned Mary, and I'm thinking of Mary and Martha now.
Mm-hmm, right.
And you want to have a good discussion with your kids, whether they're maybe probably about 8 to 10 years old or teenagers, mm-hmm. about Mary and Martha and what each of them did in that Bible story, and who did what, right? Who did, you know, you'll have a very interesting conversation.
And with your all of your kids, you've had many times to test that out. Are there consistent patterns, or does it come down to age and personality?
I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. I think part of it's age. I think the ability to think on your own two feet plays into it. And mm-hmm. I mean, the kids all have a different personality, and they're all very curious, mm-hmm. and that story of Mary and Martha and Jesus was, it's just there are some different things going on there. Okay, Mary did this, Martha did this. What, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yes. I participated in a Mary and Martha skit that I put on for a mom's group several years ago, and it was playing that out and letting us live into it. And you get a different, almost like a three-dimensional experience when you play the different parts of it. You get mm-hmm. that experience, and there's so many layers and there's so many perspectives. And I really value how you as a parent have brought that up with your kids. And that's really a view to understand the dynamics in a family and in society. What looks like someone's not working, truly, they are benefiting the family. So Mary is really benefiting the family by choosing what she did when Jesus is in the home.
Mm-hmm.
While Martha's work was important, he didn't rebuke her for working.
No.
He was talking about how she viewed it. And that's something that we get as we get older. And when we look at the contemplative orders, for example, and we don't really see, well, what are they doing? And then we understand that they're increasing the holiness of humanity by their example, by the work that they do, by the interactions they have, that they have a part too. And that we as parents are called really, and especially now, it's so crucial as we've just got so much on our plate, but to not forget, it starts with the family. We walk alongside our children through this, and it ends with the family at the end of the day. But when we do it with that awareness that, does God approve? Would he approve? Do my actions as a parent please him? Is this what's working? Because women have always worked. I, as an engineer, I really got that pressure from people. And it was never that. It's that somehow it was that motherhood's been diminished unless you have a paycheck with a letterhead on it. But when I flipped it around at the barbecue one time and said, these children are going to grow up to be parents, voters, neighbors, bosses, colleagues, teammates, coaches, teachers, and they're going to influence so many people. The sacrifice that I'm making right now to be the one that's going to influence them, because someone is going to. Someone will always be in front of their eyes and their ears. That happens because we don't get to put them in a little machine that feeds them and combs their hair. There's going to be some human being. And so when I make that sacrifice, I see the ripple effect of it. And that's what we're called to do. And it goes back to what you were saying is, would God approve?
Yeah, and you know, I mean, there's so much that we all know it as parents. You're a parent, I'm a parent, mm-hmm. So many parents out there. And parenthood, not for everybody, but mm-hmm. you have such a responsibility because your influence wanes over time.
Mm-hmm.
Partly because they get older and God gave them free will as well.
Mm-hmm.
God didn't make them to be clones of mom and dad at all, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I look in the mirror and I say, thank heavens for that. He doesn't want them to be clones. I'm speaking for God here now, and my dad once told me, don't speak for God, you're on thin ice when you do.
But
I don't think God, so I'll put myself into it, I don't think God wants them to be clones. but he wants us to guide them and instruct them. And our influence wanes not only because they get older, but because other influences come into their lives. They go to school. They have friends. Like you said, they have coaches. They have the parish priest becomes an influence in their life in a way that he probably didn't when they were 3 or 4 or 5 years old.
Right.
They're teachers, whether they're in a Catholic school or they're going to, religious ed or what they're doing. Those people become important in their lives. They become influencers, as to use the term of the day. Their
right.
soccer coach, their baseball coach, their piano teacher, their friends, their aunts, their uncles, their grandma, their grandpa. I don't think anybody had greater influence over my kids in their infancy and growing early years than my mom, than grandma.
Right.
You know, she was enormously influential.
I think that's why we call them grandma.
Yeah.
They've been a parent for 30 years on average. It's because they do have the wisdom and the experience, and they know what not to take seriously. It's like, oh, it's going to be fine. Don't worry.
Yeah, not only do they have one generation, now this is their this is their second shot at it. I know where I messed up with little Bobby or little Billy or Mary or Joe, you know, but we're gonna I get no second chance for the grandkids.
Right. And what do? They just enjoy them. They love them. They love on them. They walk alongside them. They have compassion for them when they're older.
They're almost like guardian angels. They are. It's just remarkable.
Yes. And as parents, the role we play, and I know parents right now, with everything that's going on in society and trying to navigate all of this, the burdens they have, it's just they're trying to keep a roof over their head. They're trying to navigate all the information. And what's the right approach? And would God approve? How are we doing this? What do we, the confusion is rising. At the same time, by putting God consciously in the center, like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, God, but I'm coming to you when I begin the day, throughout the day, and at the end of the day, just even for a few minutes every time, or in the car, it's a great time to pray. But that piece of we are called to it, not to be, to start there, because we'll have a very different outcome. And kids, it's not a matter of them seeing us struggle. It's how we struggle and what do we do. And they're really paying attention to us right now, because being a math tutor and going into people's homes, they're really paying attention to how their parents are handling all of this. And then how can we have joy in all of this? No, Advent is coming. How are we going to do this?
Are you going to start on Advent before Halloween? Come on.
Well, I don't know when I'm going to be on the show again, so I got to grab it when I can. You know what? You're absolutely right. The stores have already got us thinking about it, don't they? Christmas.
Oh, I think they got
August.
They got St. Patrick's Day stuff already.
No, really?
No, I'm kidding.
Oh my gosh! Wow. See, I'm so gullible. But they've had Christmas in the stores. I think I saw it in August. I definitely saw it in September. But yeah. I think I saw it in August or so.
Of course. But, let's be honest. They're going to skip Advent.
Yes.
We're not going to see Advent wreaths in the department stores.
No, but we can, well, not as much, but they are there. If you search for, especially with online being at your fingertips, you can. And our good Easter's Catholic books and gifts locally, you can order through them. In fact, I was just in there, and they already have some in stock. They're already getting all of those in. Yes,
that's wonderful.
Yes, it
good
is.
Good for them.
And they'll mail it to you. In some cases, if they can, they'll deliver to you for people that can't get out of the home or don't want to. They're very high, very much service oriented. And they're right there in Citrus Heights, just north of Sunrise Mall. So they're very much so. But I think they're going to be looking for Advent more this year, because it's been a very unpredictable. We didn't see this coming, but I know from doing the talks on keeping the holidays holy a few years ago, every year it was just ramping up more materialism, more consumerism, more hype, more pressure. And the families just got pressured more and more. But I think this year it's going to be different. I think they're starting to, I'm looking at this a little bit differently. I need to hold on to this, because everything around us is so temporary, but God is not, and He never changes. And I think that there's a piece there, as you said, would God approve? I think this is front and center. How can we have the joy Can we not only have peace, but can we have joy amid all of this? It's a hard reach, but I think we can, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we're talking about Advent, which is, you know, it is just around the corner. The mm-hmm. four Sundays starts with the four Sundays before Christmas. So usually starts on the Sunday after Thanksgiving, not always, mm-hmm. but usually. And mm-hmm. We go from there.
Right. And so one of the best things I found most successful in the workshops is to consider now, even, you know, it's way ahead, and you think, how's it going to get here? But it does. Day by day, it keeps getting here. Is what are three things that are traditions that you just absolutely love, that are your family traditions, that you look forward to, that you look back on from years past? But write them down briefly and put them on your refrigerator. And so every time you have to make a decision for social engagement, for buying something, for anything at all, hold it up against that and then make your decision. Because we get caught in the swirl of it, you know, kind of like spin cycle. We just get spinning and we just roll from day to day. But I think when we do that, it was really successful with moms to have that. And years after, they would come back often and say, I still have that card. And it meant so much to have written, taken the moment and wrote it down and put it up there. It kept my eye on the ball.
Yes.
And I would offer that the question that you talked about, that you mentioned early on, is pleasing the Lord. And it's not a pleasing insofar as, you know, if we don't make him happy, you know, the volcano is going to explode kind of thing. It's what does he want to give us? What does he have in store for us? And it's pleasing to him to love on us. I mean, he made the ultimate sacrifice for us. He wants to love us. So what is pleasing to him is to let him love us, to give us the graces and the blessings that he wants to. So what? Where do I find those? Where is it most loving for my family where I feel that? And it's just the heart of the season, that feeling, you know, that feeling of Christmas, like that inner feeling where you just, it's all in sync. And by putting it on the refrigerator, you have that there that reminds you, you see it, and then when you make a decision, you reference it. And so that's really successful for families to do that, for the parents to take that few moments to do that and to help us navigate through it.
Well, I think you're right, too. I think this is going to be a very special Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
People say the holidays, you know, very generically, including Thanksgiving and all of Advent and various non-Christian holidays as well, Jewish holidays, mm-hmm. Important Jewish days. But, you know, along the way, we have All Saints Day. We have All Souls Day. We have Immaculate Conception. We have, mm-hmm. you know, on and on and on.
So maybe, should we say Happy Advent then?
Happy Advent.
To keep people focused on it. Yeah. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think people are going to be more clear about saying Merry Christmas? Then rather than going along with the grocery store clerk and they say Happy Holidays?
No, it's funny. I have noticed, I'd say in the last 4 or 5 years, people much more freely saying Merry Christmas. I know in my hometown, they used to, you know, they'd have the lighting of the tree and a parade with Santa Claus and that kind of stuff. And it became the holiday tree instead of the Christmas tree. And it's gone back to being the Christmas tree.
Oh, good.
Yeah, which is, you know, and the Christmas tree lots, they don't say the holiday tree lot. They say Christmas tree lot, you know.
Good.
And I'm seeing that much more. And I think maybe it has to do with you know, it's like, I guess there was a fear that, oh, we can't favor one religion after another, so we have to act like there is no religion, as
right.
opposed to saying, let's embrace all religions.
Right.
You know, I mean, as a government entity or as a society, you don't have to ignore it. I don't need the city council in my town to endorse that this was the day Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, was born. I don't need them to endorse that the host and the wine are the body and blood of Jesus Christ. I don't need them to endorse that, but I don't need them to ignore it and act like it doesn't exist either.
Right, or try to, dilute it by saying everything needs to be
I think it's wonderful that the public schools will say on Good Friday to children that and not just Catholic kids, Christians, that you can have the day off. Mm-hmm. No questions asked. You can have the day off. Mm-hmm. We're not going to say nope. We can't recognize religion. We're going to be hard nosed about this. No, you can have the day off. I think that's exactly the accommodation of religion that a sort of a diverse society needs.
Mm-hmm. Right. And as we move through this, and people are not, I don't think they're going to be. Or I should say this. I anticipate they will not be as wrapped up in the long lines for the favorite toy this Christmas. It will be a little more tempered, a little more about experience and what family we can get together with and treasuring them and how will we connect with the others. We're rewriting. We have to be resilient in how we're keeping the holidays holy. But it is going to be helpful to think about it ahead of time going in and looking, starting early, so to speak, and just in our minds formulating it. Well, what really carries us through? Because it's a very high spiritual time, right? And as we move through the year, we want to really embrace and soak up the real sentiment of what's going on with the Lord and his birth and the sacredness of it and the uncertainty of the Blessed Mother and the fear of the shepherds with the angel and the human emotions that happened and how God helped them navigate through every piece of it. And I'm caught by John 15:11. This I command you, love one another.
Period.
So how about if we actually set up our Advent around making family and neighbor feel loved?
Can we put stranger in there as well?
Yes, that's true. Yes, and by neighbor, I guess I do mean generically, the people in our family that it's easy to have that connection. And sometimes family's not so easy to make feel loved, as you know.
They say the most stressful time for families are around the holidays when... might have been better that Cousin Bill was living in Pocatello, you know.
True.
But he's visiting. Yes. He's visiting this Christmas.
Yes. And I would. And I'm sure it's no stranger to you, the divisions within families right now, the struggles within families, and trying to navigate this, and how we're all just trying to make it work. But if we start with God. How do we make this work? He will always, you know, right? It's no news to you, but I mean, he never turns away from us when we ask. And Psalm 119:133, steady my feet in accord with your promise. Do not let iniquity lead me. And so that leads to, let's be specific in our prayers. Show me how to navigate this with this family member through Christmas. Then the big piece, I think, is look for the ways that the Lord answers you. The subtle ways, the magazine article that catches your mind, how sometimes words just pop off a page when you're standing in line, or a billboard, or somebody says something, and it's like your guardian angel just grabs those words and shoves them in your ear and makes them stay there. So you really get that phrase, is to steady my feet and do not let iniquity lead me. And from my own life, my own family, a family member and I were really just completely at odds. And unfortunately, we could both find experts to back us up until we decided we're not going to talk about this anymore.
Hmm.
We're just going to talk about anything else. And it's been beautiful. It's been strong. It's been resilient. Because we don't need the other one to agree. We don't need the other one to do what we're doing. We can still love on each other and still be connected to God. And if it comes down to something that we have to deal with, where the situation changes, I pray the Lord will guide us through it.
The old agree to disagree?
Yes. Yes, because it's so confusing in the moment. Who do we say? Who knows? For some points, we don't know.
Is that the 11th commandment?
Yes.
When all else fails, agree to disagree.
With the asterisk that when all else fails, just love each other.
Just love each other. You really think that is what Jesus is saying. You know,
right.
I mean, if you put the love first, respect the Lord. There's, I'm the Lord thy
God.
You know,
with all your heart, mind,
and then love one another And as Jesus says, everything flows from those two commandments.
Yes.
And everything. And you look at it, and it does. I mean, it's like, it is genius because Jesus said it. And I think he'd be a Mensa member if he was walking the earth today. Probably be the leader of it, except he probably wouldn't join it. But, you know, so if Jesus said it, you can believe it. And it makes perfect sense. Everything else, all the other commandments flow from that. You know, if you love the Lord our God, and with your whole mind and your whole heart and your whole soul, and you love one another as Jesus has loved us and as God loves us, the rest of it's going to make sense.
Right. And if we have nothing, if we have no card to play, if we have no ideas, there's no strategy, we want to break away from the generational family patterns, which is, I'll see you at the next funeral. Don't bother me until then. I'm not talking to you anymore, for example. But we just play the love card. Underneath it all, I love you. And I really think, and this is where when we get back to heaven, purgatory, you know, when we make it there and we can ask questions to St. Peter, I think that answer is going to be, I tied you to that person because if it was anyone else, you would have not persevered in the relationship. You would have quit talking to the neighbor. You would have quit the job. You would have cut off the friendship. But when they're tied to you in family, that's the hardest. And that's where we grow the most. But if we come back to that, and John 15:11, this, I command you. He doesn't say, I suggest, I guide you, I recommend, this is the standard I hold. No, it was command. Wow, I think all we're supposed to do then is salute and yes, sir.
Absolutely. We are with Jane Lee, God's Heart and Hands Ministry. We'll take a quick break. And Jane, I got a lot of things that I want to ask you and more to talk about, but we'll take a quick break and we'll be back with more with Jane Lee right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour.
Hi, this is Brian Visitation, Director of Media and Communications for the Diocese of Sacramento. You're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Thank you, Brian. Thanks for all you do here. It's a big job. I appreciate all you do here in the Diocese of Sacramento. We're back with Jane Lee, God's Heart and Hands Ministry. Jane, tell us a little bit about how you started God's Heart and Hands.
It goes back, when I search my memory, to the moment when the Holy Spirit like shed light on a moment to like pay attention to this, and it's like you have that experience of I'm really supposed to get this. It was working at my children's preschool in the buzz of the holidays, and you were required as parents to go work at this craft meeting where you were making all the little candy cane reindeer or felt little salt things they were going to give to the children the last day before Christmas. And we were, it's a huge table, and the moms are busy making crafts, and we're tired, and we're sharing stories, and there's cookies and punch and all the holiday fare, but there was a fatigue underneath it, but there's this camaraderie in that we're all still going through what else we have to do, and the late nights we're staying up, and how to navigate, where are we going to get this toy, anybody know where this one is, whatever the favorite toy of the year was, and a mom comes in from outside, and she stands in the doorway, and she sees the room and the hustle and the bustle, and she's got a plate of cookies, and under her breath, it was almost like a response more to herself than it was to anyone else. She said, another party, another plate of cookies, with a sigh. And that's when I got the insight into the fatigue that mothers go through at Christmas especially, and how it's distracting them. It's pulled them away from the sacredness, because the long list of to-dos and what's expected of us, and then that started the workshops on keeping the holidays holy and how to have that holiness and giving mothers a chance to talk. And it was everything from the next door neighbor has all their lights up, why can't we, from the kids, and the catalogs coming in the mail, and all the advertisements, and the children wanting this and wanting that, and then everyone's, and then all the social obligations and the busyness, and seeing that face to face was the aha moment that gave me insight into what was going on underneath all the sparkly Christmas lights and red glitter, glitter and red.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head with Christmas lights. I think that's why God gave me a big brother, because I had no skill with it. And I can tell you, when my kids were little, that was big. They wanted anything, just a couple of lights around the door, around a window, you know, something out to the street. We didn't need the, you know, Santa on the lawn or coming down the chimney, but just some bright lights. And I just wasn't any good at it. And they would. Uh-huh. You'd be driving home, and it'd be like Thanksgiving or something, or the day after, and already some neighbors and people, you know, hire people now to do it. And it's like, and the cities have contests, and newspapers publish, you know, here's the best lights in town. You know, it's like a competition. Right. And our kids didn't even, I mean, they'd have been thrilled with that, but they just wanted some lights up, you know.
Right, and it evolved, right? And now we were just walking the dogs last night and commenting about the orange Halloween lights and the jack-o'-lanterns. And then it just keeps going. It gets bigger and bigger every year. But we giving parents a chance to talk about what it's like to navigate that and to create that for your children. And quickly, we lose the opportunity for the family time, you know, sweeping up the leaves, and the kids are jumping through the big piles of leaves, and all the sweetness was gone. And the mothers, year after year, doing this workshop, the fatigue, and they were just like, oh my gosh, it's Halloween. And then it was, it's the 1st of October, I know it's coming, and school has started, and then that's just the downhill slope into Christmas. And so it started backing up earlier and earlier in the year, of the pressure they felt, because they knew. And I experienced it personally, going up the stairs late one night, and I had a candle going, and it was a pumpkin pie kind of candle, and I smelled it. It was that beautiful pumpkin pie smell, and my subconscious said, oh, Christmas is here. Oh no, this is so much. So that the smell triggered the fatigue memory. And it's like, oh no, this is not the way God wants it. This is not what he's looking for. It's to be a pure celebration. And I will say really delicately, but I always look for where is God bringing good out of what's going on in the moment, whether it's in the family or a neighborhood or politics or the world right now. And a positive I see with being with families through all of this is more family time. Is through this, we do have more face-to-face time. in these last 18 months, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. And you know, it's interesting to me, though, over all the years, and I've had six kids and and spread out over a number of years. And the one thing that hasn't changed is the Christmas story, you know, that I mean, it's not, no, I don't mean the Christmas story hasn't changed. Of course it hasn't changed. But the fact that it's still hugely relevant in a child's life growing up. It's not like, we used to do that 30 years ago back when, you know, before, you know. No, it's that's something that really resonates with young children and everybody. You know, it still resonates. It's still what Christmas is about. And I'm not going to pretend that we don't exchange presents and that the kids don't get excited about that. And although now that they're, you know, teenagers, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. Much bigger deal when they believed in Santa Claus and all of these presents would appear under a tree magically, you know. And, I'm not sure about the fire in the fireplace, where they thought Santa came in. But
that's the magic of it. You know, that's the magic.
But the Christmas story is still compelling, fascinating, what they want to talk about, especially with young kids. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, in that range, it still resonates. And don't be afraid to tell the Christmas story. Don't be afraid to talk about Jesus and Mary and the manger and baby Jesus and the three wise men and we bring out that manger every year, just a small manger, and we put it inside, it's got the straw on the top, and it has all the figurines down to sheep and shepherds, and has baby Jesus always gets lost, but comes back.
He always gets lost.
I'm going, leave baby Jesus alone, but they can't do it. You know, and let him sleep.
Yes, my kids are well grown, and I still have the three wise men travel around the house.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, there's
just a reminder to me. What's going on.
One place between Davis and Woodland, and I think they still do it. I'll check this year, but they start in early December, and it's a farm area. You know, it's wide open. It's farmland, but there's a house on one road, and then way out in the field they start with the wise men, and every day they move them closer.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Very cool.
Oh, I'll have to find that. That really is beautiful. And it is a story that we can revisit with our children at various ages. It was not until I was pregnant with my first child that I realized, Mary had to get on a donkey, and she was full-term pregnant. Because we find ourselves in the story in many different ways. And so I think, you know, through all the turmoil, and I think the uncertainty is doesn't look like it's abating, we'll just say that, is that God knows what's going on. God, that much we can count on, don't you think? He knows what we're dealing with. Good, bad, and indifferent, he knows everything. And so if we go back to, would God approve of what I'm doing in this moment? And I've really gotten, because I'm very much of the, I want to help everybody. I have to help, you know, anything I can do. And I've really come to understand through deeper prayer, pay attention, listen to that little voice, what I put in front of you. And only worry about that, and the rest I'll take care of. And so Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 10, Yahweh says this about this people. They take such pleasure in darting. They take such pleasure in darting hither and thither. They cannot restrain their feet! Exclamation point. That feels like Christmas in the new millennium. We're just busy, busy, busy.
Yeah, and you know. It's always interesting to me, the things that are in Matthew 25, the things that Jesus tells us to do are all very important. You know, feeding the hungry and clothing the naked and welcoming the stranger and visiting people in prison, all those things. But, you know, you don't have to be homeless or poor or hungry to need to hear the good news of Jesus.
Right.
I mean, you could be a billionaire and be an atheist, and you go, well, he doesn't need our help. I'm going to go feed the homeless. And yes, feeding the homeless is exactly what we're supposed to do, or
right.
taking care and et cetera. But we're also supposed to take care of that billionaire who doesn't even believe in God.
Yes.
Because
yes.
who needs that more, you know?
Right.
And there is a sense that, oh, he's got it made. I guess he's going to buy his way into heaven. But he's got it made. He doesn't need my help. Yes, he does.
Yes. Yeah.
I can remember one time, gosh, it was years ago. It was before I was on Catholic radio. I wrote a newspaper column, and it wasn't a religious mm-hmm. column, but people in town, a small town, knew I was Catholic, knew, you know, I certainly didn't hide it. And mm-hmm. this guy was a major professor. He called me out of the blue one day, and he was about 85, retired.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I need to talk about God with you. I don't know anybody I can talk to God about, and I don't really know what I believe or I don't believe. And I was like, holy.
Wow.
Holy my goodness.
It was
like, oh, well, you know, like, I'm sorry I didn't go to seminary or anything, but I will tell you what, I mean, I think he had reached a certain age, and he was infirmed a bit, and all of a sudden, God tapped him on the shoulder and said, you know, this isn't the end here.
Mm.
You know, you've been real prominent and real important in this town, but your days are numbered, as all of ours are, you know?
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
and we don't all get the good fortune or seeming good fortune. I mean, I think that we don't know what's good fortune and what isn't sometimes of living a long life. And then at the end saying, oh, okay, I surrender. I'm going to believe in God now, you know,
I surrender.
You know, you got me. I lived the life I wanted to. And at the last minute, I'm going to convert and tell God, which is fine. Right. If you convert, boy, I'm not going to tell people how to do it. But it was like, he really had a hunger for it. And it's like, my goodness, you know. Well,
and that's it. It's in the moment paying attention to what comes across your path. And in that moment, that was completely what consumed your mind and your time, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that through this, as we move through this uncertainty and this chaos, if we hold that thought of pleasing the Lord, or just hold whatever, however we hold God in our mind as the filter of, take a breath before you answer the four-year-olds when they tell you that your favorite vase or picture they broke. Oh, I remember doing this stunningly beautiful wreath out of dried floral flowers, real roses that had been professionally dried. I found them at a garage sale, and I just made this elaborate wreath. And my kids were like three and four, and I'd put it on the back door on the inside because I wanted to make sure everything was set before I put it outside on the front door. And I was busy talking with we had a drapery guy come into the house, and I had the baby in the high chair. So I'm dealing with the salesman, dealing with the baby, and the others are in the front room, and they're happy. You know that sound. You know that when you need to move. This wasn't it. They were very happy. Well, when I went around the corner, I'd seen that he had taken the little ball and seen the circle, the wreath, on the back of the front door and saw a target. And he'd been standing there for 20 minutes seeing if he could hit the wreath, and it was in pieces on a floor. And in that moment, making the decision after a deep breath, okay, God, I'm going to give this to you. Mm-hmm. And of a sacrifice, I'm going to see, okay, where can I think now? Oh, this might be God's lesson of object impermanence. Nothing matters in the world. I'm just going to take it as that because it'll just get me through the moment. But it's true. I looked for, what could God be teaching me in this moment when things just got too big and too out, where I couldn't make sense of it and I couldn't wrangle it? You know, we can't laugh through it. I'm going to put God in there more specifically. Okay, I'm going to ask you to be here to help with this because this is beyond my ability. Show me what you can show me, anything that I can listen to. And my prayer often has been, and it's so curious, it's always answered, talk louder, I can't hear you because of the chaos in my head. And he always does. He always finds a way. So I offer that as we move into Advent, and we really want the holiness, we want all the juice of the holiness, the peace. He said he'll always give us the peace that surpasses all understanding, which I still haven't gotten yet because it's just a novel. It's like, wow, doesn't that sound so good? You know, all the chocolate and all the things we do to self-medicate are all going to disappear if we get a real taste of the Lord's peace. But knowing that it's there, that if I keep sitting still, like he said, be still and know that I am God. It's not be still and wait, wonder, postulate, suspect. It's be still and know that I am God. Oh, that sweetness, that peace, that moment we get. Usually every Christmas we've got at least one where it's like everything, there's peace, there's quiet, there's joy. There's, and you know the difference between happiness and real joy, heart-centered, soul-permeating joy. It's like that's, you know, what we want.
What you described there is what I hear almost every time I interview a seminarian or interview a priest or a religious or a sister, mm-hmm. a deacon, about their vocation. And they say that there was a moment when they really felt like they were silent and God was talking to them.
Wow.
And I remember at the vocations dinner, one of the seminarians spoke, and he just, it was like at that moment there was nothing else I wanted to do other than to pursue the priesthood, you know.
Mm.
And it was, and you could, the joy he was exuding,
really?
You know, it wasn't like, well, it was a tough choice and this and that, and mm-hmm. it's a lot of hard work, but I think this is what I should be doing kind of thing. It was
wow.
No question. It was like, this is the most joyful moment of my life, and I'll remember that moment forever and has never looked back, you know.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. And that is what we know when we see it. We know when we see it in another person, and we know when we have it. And if we go into Advent, even it just give a thought of how can we have it? And maybe it's really just praying for it. Lord, I really want this. I want a deeper experience of you. I want to know where you are in my life more clearly, because it's really hard to see it. You know, that our feet do dart hither and thither. You know, we can't restrain our feet or our heads, because our feet can be still, but our heads can race, you know, Olympic speed. Is I want to see you and know you more. And I would say that that's one of the things I'm really like having to search for more, and I'm really talking to mothers about it, or fathers too, when the opportunity presents itself, is in keeping the holidays holy, we have to think ahead. We have to, because, you know, you go to the dog park when you have a dog and you go often enough, you get to know the people that are there at the same time of the day. And I'll never forget one father said, well, Christmas is just a shopping day. That's just, you know, we're CEOs. And I said, what is a CEO? I know what it is in the real, the business world. Christmas and Easter only. Whoa. And the bravado that he said, well, Christmas is just a shopping thing now. I don't even know what to say. I was quite stunned, but I've really given it a lot of thought, and I've paid attention to be present to when, if difficulty hits, to be there and just be present. And I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not one. I can't do what Patrick Madrid does. I can't evangelize like that and be an apologist, but I can be present with the person in front of me and what the Lord brings to me, much like you did with that man that called you up about, I want to talk God with someone. It's like, okay, I recognize those moments, and to be there for someone. And I think as we move through this, if we think ahead and pray, Lord, I want the Advent that you would approve of. And it's not I don't think it's a high bar. I think it's a different arrangement of the same elements that we have already, and it's a different awareness of those elements. It's a different way we walk through it. We're still going to have the same family. We're still going to have gifts. We're still going to have the tree. You know, hopefully we're still going to have eggnog. all those pieces, but we're going to do it differently. And I think that's one of the gifts that can come out of this Advent and this Christmas season. And as we move forward to face what the new year might bring, having that to strengthen our souls, to like, put on the armor of God, literally, but to do it in a joyful way, not in a protective way, not in a faithful way, which those are really important, but to do it with, yes, I felt the joy of God again. I know in my bones that he is here.
Yeah, amen. Jane, God's Heart and Hand Miss Ministry, Jane Lee, thanks so much for all you do. Thanks for spending so much time with us today, and we'll look forward to our paths crossing again soon, maybe even in person. Who knows?
Oh, is that possible? I don't know. I figured the next step was the orange juice cans with the string around
that's
the corner.
That's right. That's right.
Yes, a little close, but not too close. God bless you, Bob, and your family.
You too. Thanks so much, Jane. God bless. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening, everyone. God bless. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy Ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Ministry of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and longstanding support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates. We'd like to thank all the wonderful people and organizations, businesses in town and throughout the Diocese of Sacramento who have provided underwriting for the Bishop's Hour, some in the last few years, some have been with us for a very long time. If you would like to be an underwriter for the Bishop's Radio Hour, it's a wonderful opportunity to support this mission and also to support the diocese and also to get some recognition for your organization or for your business. The easiest way to do this is to give us a shout, send us an email, radio@scd.org, and we can give you all the details about helping to underwrite the Bishop's Radio Hour. Again, that's radio@scd.org.
To the cross I look, and to the cross I cling. Of its suffering I do drink, of its work I do sing. On it my Savior, both bruised and crushed, showing that God is love and God is just. At the cross you beckon me, you draw me gently. Gift.
have I been given through Christ crucified? You've called me out of death. You called me into life. And I was under